It's Vicky here and welcome to Online Marketing Basics for Busy Website Owners. And in this episode of the podcast, it is my absolute pleasure to talk to someone I've known in the online space for a while and a friend as well, Kat Archer-Underwood, who was formerly, when I first met her, known as the Brandologist. And I met Kat a few years ago, nearly 3 years ago now, when we both decided to pivot into doing online courses in our businesses as a way of trying to reach more of our ideal customers. And I was just a little old website builder back then, making websites for cash, trying to figure out what I wanted to do in my own business, which hadn't been going very long since I decided to move on from the corporate agency space. And Kat was looking to do the same, not necessarily work doing pure brand strategy, but actually teaching people how to do that. And interestingly enough, both Kat and I have pivoted over the past few years. And in this episode, we've come together to talk about what that means to us, with the hope that in listening to this episode, if you are at a place in your business right now where, or in your career even, right, where you're thinking, is it time for a change? Should I rip it all up and start again? At what point is this just not working? Maybe we might have some insights for you that you can draw from to help you make those decisions right now. I mean, this is two friends having a chat, right? But we really do try and cover a few bases here. In particular, like what a pivot is, businesses that we know that have pivoted in the past, and the difference between persevering with what you already have and then deciding to make that change and what that might mean for you and your business. I really genuinely enjoyed this chat with Kat, and I think you will as well. So stick your headphones in, take the dog for a walk, listen in while you've got a cup of coffee, whatever you need to, and enjoy. And I will see you back at the end of the episode. I'm Vicky Jakes, and in this podcast, I'm aiming to bring you no-nonsense advice on how to drive more traffic to your small business website so that you can start making more money. It will be packed full of hints and tips, jargon-free, and a chance for us to geek out together on a weekly basis. So let's crack on with this week's episode. Tell me about I've known you for a long time now. The concept of pivoting is something I think we both know really, really well, because we're quite good at approaching an idea to pitch, whether it's me in the website world, you in the branding world, a product to pitch, and testing it, and if it doesn't work, moving on. Right? So that concept of pivoting is natural to us.
Yeah, definitely.
But this is something that you want to start talking about more in your marketing, right? And in your messaging to your own audience.
Yeah, I think it's almost like, I don't know if I'd always call it a pivot. I think sometimes pivots kind of become a bit of a trendy word, hasn't it? Kind of since all the, not trendy, but since all the lockdowns and everything we've all been through around the world, pivoting, I think, has become more normal to people. Like, you just had to learn to adapt and try new stuff. But I think the concept of doing that kind of is nothing new, is it? Like, lots of us have been doing that for a really long time. But I think for me, the latest pivot I've done, so I've moved away from brand consulting, but I'm called the Brandologist. That's felt like a bigger, I don't know, when is it a pivot? When is it just that you're adapting and you're seeing what works and you're testing the market and you're doing what every business owner does and when is it a pivot? I don't really know. But yeah, I think the idea of doing the same thing and always doing it, and maybe just growing with what you do, so kind of a deeper penetration of the same like products and services to the same people, I don't know if that's really happening anymore. I think you sort of have to kind of bring in these new offers and, you know, yeah, and adapt, because I think things out there change so quickly that I don't know if staying still is really an option anymore. It's a bit philosophical there.
it's a good starting point, right? It's quite interesting you talk about the word pivot being trendy, right? For me, right, pivot is the thing that Ross shouts up the stairs when they're trying to move the sofa in Friends, right? And he's like shouting, pivot, pivot. But it's definitely, in terms of entering the business lexicon for me, something I only heard around the end of the noughts, early 2010s. It was definitely something to come out of Silicon Valley. And there's a reason why, right? It's because there were businesses who famously pivoted, right? And they were able to kind of make the news for that, right? I've got a couple that I want to hit you with quickly, talking about famous pivots, right? So did you know that Twitter pivoted? It actually started out as a podcast sharing platform called Adeo.
I don't think I did know that.
Yeah. So all of the guys that created Twitter, because it wasn't just Jack, there were a team of people who created Twitter. Yeah, they wanted to share podcasts. So it was like a network, basically. And iTunes then came out and it tanked, like, literally within a matter of days. The guys just had like a very short period of time to pivot and, you know, essentially have a create a business that had a drastic change in direction. And Jack Dorsey, who's like the CEO now of Twitter, he was the one who thought, oh, we could do like micro blogging, him and Biz Stone. So they were the ones who kind of went on to sort of lead Twitter, and then the other people left after that. Did you know PayPal have pivoted?
Don't think so. No.
I've got all the facts for you, Kat.
This is good.
I've got all the facts for you. It was meant to allow people to beam payments from their PDAs. Do you remember that?
PDAs.
Like a Palm Pilot.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. So when did they change then, I wonder?
They merged with a financial services company, apparently, called X.com, and which I think Elon Musk was involved with back then, and created a payment system that could be used on eBay, because eBay was kind of up and coming. Essentially, I've got one more for you in terms of famous pivots. So Starbucks actually started out as a coffee seller. They weren't meant to be a coffee shop. So they were going to sell espresso makers and coffee beans, you know, like a department store outlet or something like that, essentially. And then the chairman, Schultz, went to Italy and tasted a real espresso, apparently, and then came back and was like, we've got to actually sell the real coffee itself. And that's how they ended up creating coffee houses. So they pivoted that way.
That's a good story though, as well, isn't it? Like, we were just making coffee, and then one day on a trip to Italy, we tasted the most amazing coffee and thought, we have to do this. Mm-hmm. And I think is that true? Or is it just a really good spin? Because it's those sorts of stories where it's just one simple line. Here was the moment, and then it all changed.
Well, the third one, like the Starbucks one, is definitely a romantic pivot, right? It's when, you know, you're already creating a business, it's very pedestrian, but then something just hits you in the heart or between the eyes, and you know you've got to go and like follow that calling instead. And I guess the PayPal one is like definitely looking at gaps in the market. And you might have an idea that you're promoting and trying to run with, but actually as you're doing it, you can see out the side of your eye that there's a kind of a another opportunity that you could go after. And then there's the Twitter example, which is where you've got your idea but someone comes along and does it so much incredibly better than you, or that, you know, the market falls out from underneath you. I worked at a business where we used to rely on the Facebook API. Developers could access a Facebook API and you could create apps and stuff around it, and then overnight, without telling anyone, Facebook removed access and the mini business that we created within the agency went kaput overnight. And there was definitely a pivot needed there. And I think pivot is that word that sort of comes in to play when it's like, it's not over. We've still got the same team. We've still got the same budget. We've still got the same drive. It's just looking around for like different opportunities instead. And like you were saying before, that's been around a really long time. It's just, it so happens to have a fancy label now, right?
I think it's just becoming a lot more normal. So like the examples there, like they're great big brands, aren't they? But I think they're sort of normal everyday people working at their kitchen table or wherever, you know, somewhere at home, they're sort of having to pivot, or not even having to, as you say, sometimes it's a forced pivot, isn't it? Because something massive happens, like, I don't know, a global pandemic or something like that. And you're sort of forced into it. And others, it's like, it's just this lovely opportunity that you spot, or something that changes in your own life where you go, actually, you know what, it's like this little dream that can kind of creep in on you and you think, no, I've got to just follow it. I've got to follow that thread and see where I come out. So I think that's been the change, is it's the way we perceive a pivot. But I still like your Ross analogy from Friends.
So can you tell people listening a little bit about your business and when in particular when you've pivoted in the past, in your career or in your business?
So I've done it twice. I'm one of those really annoying people that have always known what I want to do. So my sort of corporate employed career has been pretty linear, like plain sailing. I knew I wanted to do marketing type stuff right from when I was at school. So yeah, that's kind of boring, really. But then when I left corporate...
Is it boring? No, it's not boring. I think that's quite exciting, because, you know, I would have loved to have known what I wanted to do years ago, because you've got years, you know, of a head start on some people, haven't you?
Yeah, I was like, I think it seems to be quite unusual that people have this idea. And I didn't know what marketing was. You know, I've got this memory of walking along with a school friend saying, oh, I just want to be like a doctor, but in businesses, and help them to do better. And I didn't really understand it. But my parents ran a business. So I've been in a family business from, you know, I was doing like leaflet drops on my bike. I was sitting at an industrial sewing machine when I was 13, making blinds with my mum. So that sort of business world, I've been in the small business world for a really long time. And, you know, I used to think, gosh, what is it that makes, why is my parents' phone ringing for people? Because we didn't have the internet, you know, this was pre-internet era. What makes someone say, I want to choose Forest Blinds, which was the name of their business, over like this other one? And it was that kind of curiosity that kind of made me sort of follow this path. So yeah, I've been on the path for a really long time. But then when I had a baby, I left corporate life. I think we all sort of know the way that plays out. But my first freelance, I went in as a web design, I really wanted like a mini agency. So even though I hadn't really done web design, like I just thought, oh, I've only got to like learn a little bit, and the rest is already there from my career anyway. I use WordPress. I got a developer to work with me for like custom stuff. And you know what? It wasn't hard. Like I found customers quite easily, which again isn't a story you sort of hear that much. But I found at that time, this is 5 years ago, people just needed websites and I could do websites. So once I had a couple of customers, the others sort of came in. But I did a lot of like tradie websites and the sort of, you know, people that don't really need anything fancy, basically. And they really didn't. And what I found is I was trying to make them really pretty and like really you know, these really fancy pants. I was doing like user journey flows and like really fancy pants stuff for like the builder down the road. And he was kind of like, yeah, I really get, like, I really respect what you're doing, but I don't think I need it. I just need a really good portfolio. And I thought, you're right, you just need a really good portfolio. You don't need any of this stuff. But
is
then
that because there was a, you know, there was an inner creative trying to come out during these projects then?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I was just like, really wanted to be this creative person and just wanted them to have the absolute best thing. And I was putting all the tracking in and like, so that they were set up for their market. They didn't do any marketing. Maybe had an ad in the local, you know, it was all word of mouth. And I sort of found myself quite frustrated with it. Cause you know, you can sort of sift through 1,000 photos of like a building project and optimize them for websites. So obviously, you know, you make them like a smaller file size. It's quite boring, isn't it? Like sitting there doing all that kind of work. And I hired a coach to work with me, the first coach I've worked with. And she was like, you're a brand consultant, you're a brand marketing consultant. Like, why are you? She had no idea. She's like, so you've never been a web designer, but you're freelancing as a web designer. Like, what are you doing? And I was like, yeah, but I just saw where the demand was and I just did that. But I wasn't really doing what made me happy and fulfilled. So then that was my first pivot. I then went into brand consulting, which I'd been sort of doing anyway, or trying to do for people who didn't really want it. And then I learned about color psychology and just got really into, and I went really creative, like really, really creative, and just did big rebrands. And I did that until really recently. And then I pivoted again. So I've kept the name, the brand. So when I started, I was Coho Digital. And then I changed to the Brandologist, and now I've decided to keep the name. And I pivoted again. So this is how you and I met. I've been doing courses, membership, group programs, workshops, doing all of that for a few years now. And you do learn, you learn the lessons, don't you? When you get on and just start doing things, and then you don't realize you've been learning a lot about it until someone else who maybe hasn't done anything, they sort of ask you about it and you say, oh, well, you know, you don't want to do this and you want to do that. And, you know, start here, don't try and start there. And, you know, you talk about ads or building your email list or things like that. And you realize you've picked up all this knowledge along the way, which you can couple with the stuff, you know, you're trained in, if you like, or you've got a long career in. And then for me, like, I know what, you know, for me, I did the first group program called the Online Incubator. At this first lockdown, I saw a lot of businesses really struggle to pivot online because they were sort of running in person, like wellnessy type businesses, a lot of them. And I said, oh, do you know what? I think I can help these people. So I did a pilot program, didn't charge a lot for it, really loved it. And then I had a baby and had a lot of time for sort of thinking, a lot of time on by yourself, really, feeding a baby and being up at night. And you do get a chance to really, you're sort of thinking, but in that blurry, like tired way. And I thought, no, this is the right path for me now. I want to sort of pivot and come back more to the sort of digital marketing life that I had, you know, in corporate, and put it all together in a program that I create. And no, I'm not a great big name out there, because you get all the fears, don't you, when you do something new. You get all the little negative
about competing with the big names.
Yes.
I've spoken about this with others on this podcast before, you know, and they've got muscle, you know, which means they get the reach, but you know, you've got to dial into the personality, really, and it's not for everyone. People like working with smaller brands and smaller companies. I mean, I've proven that, right? You know, growing my business.
Yeah.
I'm not a bro marketer, and I never will be.
No, that's you can still make even money. That term, it's like just a little bit of sick, isn't it? Just your cat. We should get your cat on cue to come and do a sick.
Well, so we were just talking before we started recording about my cat throwing up on everything. Just so maybe every time she hears the term bro marketer, she should just vomit
on cue. Yeah, well, bro marketing. But yeah, you do. I think you see, because on our Facebook feed, I mean, obviously we're in this world, so nearly every ad I see is somebody selling me a course on creating courses, something on copywriting, something on creating a one to many. And you know, you sort of think, but I'm a brand consultant. I can't make this change. And I know so many people are in this boat and you think, but this is what I'm known for. And it is, you do have to have a bit of a word with yourself about it. But I, in the end, did a bit of more research. Even though I'd done a pilot program, I got on the phone and just spoke to some of my email community. And that was the best thing I could have done, because everybody said what you've just said, which is, do you know what? Like, I just want to work with a person who will see me and hear me, and who, because if they're a bit introverted and a bit, you know what it's like. Like, you and I did a program together, didn't we? In 2018-19. I never joined a Q&A, not once, because I felt too shy and awkward. And just, it's like, I want my money's worth because I paid a lot for this. But yeah. Like, I'd go to join and I just couldn't do it. And it was just this weird, like, introversion just kicking in. And, you know, and she's not massive and her program wasn't massive, but I still just couldn't quite do it. And so I think there is a lot of people like that out there who just want to talk to someone really normal like me and you and say, oh, I'm a bit stuck on this, but I don't want you to judge me. And I know I'm being a bit rubbish on this front, or I know I should be able to figure this out. And so actually getting on the phone and hearing people say things like that, you think, yeah, of course, I knew it all. It was all in my head. But hearing people tell you, it just makes it real, doesn't it? And then you go, right, I'm going to do it. I'm going to get up. I'm going to just do it. I'm just going to make a change. And that's what you have to do. You have to take some action, don't you? You can spend forever in your head otherwise.
And it's quite interesting you talking there, Kat, because it sounds like you've definitely followed the Starbucks approach to pivoting, where you've kind of gone with your heart, really, in terms of having that space to think about where your business is going and realizing like what you want to do, after maybe going down the PayPal approach, right, where they were Confinity in the beginning, where you just saw a gap in the market as a web designer and you were like, well, this will earn me money. I guess this is where I need to go. But it sounds like your pivot has been based on finding joy in what you want to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's going to be different for everyone, isn't it? But I think a lot of women, I have to say, and I don't, you know, this is based on no fact, like none. pure
observation. With the big assumptions, yeah.
pure assumption. You know, I think you can have that more kind of businessy view of like, where's a gap in the market? How can I maneuver myself into it? What are the steps I need to follow? And I think that's a really great model. But what it does miss out is joy. Where is the joy factor? And I think if you make a big decision like leaving employment, I don't know, I guess it depends how motivated, what motivates you. But for me and a lot of people I work with, we need that sense of fulfillment and purpose. And I think when you sort of take that away and you're just looking at numbers and running a successful business, I think you end up searching for something else, and it'll always find you in the end. Again, I'm being a bit philosophical here, but I think you do need a joy. I personally need a joy factor. So, but there's room for both.
I was listening to an interview from Justin Kahn. He originally created a platform called Justin TV. It was like the first streaming service, and he basically filmed himself nonstop, and it ended up becoming the Twitch platform, which ended up, because they had to pivot because they weren't doing very well, and you know, video started to do really well across social media and stuff, so they pivoted into doing games and having gamers film themselves. So it's another interesting like pivot there, essentially. But he sold that business to Amazon for, I think it's $980 million, which is just an insane amount of money, right? Mm-hmm. But he, in the interview, he was talking about, like, the interviewers are asking, you know, what's next? You know, what do you want to do? Do you want to go and earn like more money again? Do you want to go and sell another business again? And he actually said, like, for him, like, he'd been able to go through therapy and, you know, weird retreats, you know, very Silicon Valley and stuff, and kind mm-hmm. of weeks off at Burning Man and stuff, to find out that actually, like, he just wanted to have joy in what he was doing every single day, and all the decisions that he makes for his business are kind of based on that. And you know, I love that, that he sort of had given that insight, because I think a lot of us are definitely probably doing the wrong thing in our business and thinking that we need to do the thing that we're doing because it's making us money. But probably if you're not listening to that inner voice saying, is this really what you want to do? Are you actually getting joy out of that? Even clearly billionaires are thinking like that as well. Like, you know, that they want to get joy out of what they're doing every single day. It's not about the cash at all.
Yeah, that's so interesting, isn't it? That someone that's sort of got to that level would kind of say that. But I think, I mean, there's definitely a balance to be had, because I think if you chase joy with no logic or no like tenacity to earn some money, because we're not running hobbies, like they are businesses, you've got to earn some money.
Right. So with the joy tick box firmly checked, right, you know, if you've got your joy already in your business, right, you're not making the money, right, you're not making the money, then, you know, you need to look at areas in your life and in your business potentially as to why that might be before deciding to make a pivot. I mean, I see this a lot in, you know, the kind of coaching that I'm doing and the conversations that I'm having a lot, where people want to pivot before they really got to the point where they have to. Case in point, right, you know, the kind of Twitter ODO example we talked about earlier, they had to pivot because their business tanked overnight, right? So without that, they wouldn't have had a job the following week. But to kind of start thinking, well, do I pivot? But your business is making you money, things are going quite well, you like what you're doing. Like, that's a real danger zone. I feel like that is procrastinating, or maybe not pushing yourself to really see if the business is worth pursuing.
Yeah, I agree. And it's that chasing shiny objects thing, isn't it, as well? And I think
I see it so much.
Yeah, ditto. And I have to discipline myself with it. You know, I think everyone's different, and I think it shows up in different ways for people. But you could actually be on like a really great path. You could be, as you say, you've got your joy, you know, you found something you really love. You could be steadily building that, and you could be, you know, that could be going quite well. And then all of a sudden it could be, oh, but here's this like really great new idea. And do you, like, how do you know if that's a new idea worth pursuing, if it's worth a pivot for, or if it's your brain tricking you into like not finding the success that you deserve and that you're capable of having, and like taking you away from it. And I wish I had the magic answer to that, but I think you've got to kind of know yourself, haven't you? And ask yourself, have you really given it everything? Have you really given it everything?
And you know, that takes a kind of a brave look at the bottom line every single month, you know, looking at your efforts versus like, you know, what's on the turnover. And, you know, we were talking about the joy earlier, but you can't have the joy without, in my world, you can't have the joy without making the money, because absolutely it's a hobby business. And looking at the bottom line and thinking, people aren't buying this product, people aren't buying this service, why? And if you can answer that why, if you've asked your, like, exactly what you did, exactly the right thing, you went out and you asked your customers, you went out and asked your email list, what do you think of this idea? Please give me your feedback. And if you haven't done that in your business, if you haven't gone directly to the source and said, why aren't you buying, right? Yeah. And then not pivoted, right? Because that we're talking, that's a totally different direction, right? But changed areas of your business that perhaps your customer doesn't like, updated features of your product perhaps your customer's not responding with, change parts of your marketing and your messaging that they're not responding with, and go through several iterations of that, just, you know, like a lot of software companies do, and then you can see if you can get success from that, rather than just sort of thinking, well, I've been doing this 2 months and no one's buying from me, I'm going to drop it and try something else.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing. I think sometimes we almost convince ourselves it's failing. Just go, oh well, it's failing, this doesn't work, move on. And it isn't necessarily about that. It might be that, I mean, more often than not, I think marketing is the thing that's missing, or it might be the product just is a bit overcomplicated, or, you know, it can be something quite simple. But the thing that we've also got to layer in, you know, as I said earlier, you're scrolling Instagram, Facebook, wherever, and you're getting all these ads telling you this is the thing that's missing, this is the thing that's missing. And I think you do sort of, you get convinced of it, like, oh, I just need better copy. Oh, I've just got to run a challenge and run a big launch. Or, you know, it could be any number of things that people tell you, this is the one thing that your business hasn't got that it needs, and then all your dreams will come true. And they're sort of like, they're all selling a lie, really, because you need a bit of everything. But I think you need your own conviction as well. So one of the ladies who did some research with me, she's done quite a few pivots. And she did one of the big coaches programs. She said the problem was she was following the steps and she was going through everything, but she didn't believe in it. So, you know, all the coaching in the world and all the my exact strategies and 7-step plans and all of that, if you don't have conviction of your own idea, you're always going to hang back a little bit, aren't you? You're always going to just be waiting for that sign of, oh, it's not working. So it is tricky to recognize. I think the joy thing is easier to recognize, and you go, do you know what, I'm just not quite happy with this. And I think that's feels braver, because it can feel a bit selfish, like, oh, I'm earning money, which is great, but I'm going to make a change and risk that because I want to put my own joy first. I think that can feel really scary.
Yeah, I mean, I know this well, because I have a compulsion within me to tear everything up and start again all the time, right? Because I like the process of starting from brand new. Yeah, like that fills me with so much excitement. Starting in, because the process of starting from brand new is fun, but that doesn't make you any money. And I'm going through a process now where I'm like, I think it's a okay established business, it's making cash, I can forecast 1 to 2 years ahead, you know.
It's amazing.
There's no way I want to tear this one up and kind of start again or whatever. But something I want to mention, right, is that, you know, I think as business owners, no matter how big, right, you have to be hyper aware of the market that you're in, and you need to look at trends. You need to see what tech's running. You need to talk to your audience, because if you're not making money now, it might be that there's just something around the corner that's going to change your fortunes. Like Netflix is a really good example of that, right? They were a mail order DVD service that was meant to stop you having to go to Blockbusters and get your DVD, right? And then they announced, we're not doing this anymore. We're going to only put our stuff online and you're going to stream it. And everyone was like, what? Stream? What is this word streaming? We're not going to do it. And of course, the rest is history. You know, you can't, I mean, we watch Netflix rather than terrestrial TV now. That's how ubiquitous.
Don't even have TV. It's all streaming in our
right, house. For sure. Right. And they're becoming like one of the biggest employers in the world, etc. But that could be the same for your business if you're listening and it's not quite taking off. There could be the next thing around the corner. So you kind of got to, you know, keep going. But also you've got to be hyper aware when things change that might not be so great, like tech changes. If you're like a Facebook ad strategist, for example, that is, you've built a business on some very, very uneven land there and some shaky ground, because it's a platform that could change tomorrow. You know, that they could decide not to run ads for whatever reason, and that's your business gone. You know, last year, for example, I know some chatbot specialists, I'm just doing the bunny ear quote here, who've been utilizing the ManyChat software platform to create chatbots in Facebook Messenger. And then Facebook turned around and was like, actually, we need to do loads of restrictions in the EU for how chatbots can be used, which meant that the way that, you know, chatbot specialists have started using them had to change. In fact, you couldn't use them in the way that they probably had trained and been trained and were selling their services to their clients. And there was no pivot there. There's no pivot, because the tech has changed. The tech won't let you send welcome email, welcome messages and do welcome series, and you've got no business anymore. So, you know, you have to be hyper aware that could change and you might have to pivot, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I think you're right in terms of like really knowing your audience. But the thing that can, say if you're joy hunting, we'll call it, your audience might also completely change. So, you know, you might have built up an email list, but they're an email list of people who are interested in X, Y, and Z. and then you say, actually, this isn't really my thing anymore. So you've got to be careful who you ask as well, and kind of like who you're listening to. And I think gut instinct does play quite a big role. And sometimes I think you have to just do it to know if it's got legs. And then, you know, it's almost harder to then build it up. I think the idea stage is like a really lovely stage to be in. I'm like you, Vicky. I love building things from nothing. It's so amazing. I love having ideas. And in a way, that's why I've built the program I've built, which is Expand Your Brand, because I get to work with people in that stage. Like, give me your ideas. Like, let's build this thing up. And so it's like trying to, yeah, it's the joy hunting thing of like finding your strengths and then saying, well, how can I create something around it? But yeah, also when you're doing your research, it's kind of like knowing your market, and you can't predict, like, if you're on a platform that's going to suddenly make a load of changes, you know, you can't really predict it, but you might sense the direction that it's going in. But then, yeah, also like thinking about who you're asking and who you're listening to, because again, Vicky, we must see this a lot. People like designing websites, designing their branding, they might go and ask their partner or their friend, and their friend goes, oh, I don't really like it, don't like that colour. And you have to go, yeah, but who is your friend? Are they one of your customers, or are they an expert in the field of web design, brand, or marketing? If the answer is no, 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 and no, then don't ask your friend.
Let me stop you there. I cannot tell you the amount of times where a client said to me, well, my son's quite techie, so he's had a look for me. I'm like, well, what? Who's your son? Oh, well, you know, he's at school at the moment, but he's quite oh, so you've asked a 16-year-old schoolboy to sign off your £50,000 website. Right. Yeah, you know, I've had that in the past.
Oh gosh.
Okay, but the thing is, like, I can afford now in my business to test new ideas, because I've got my main income stream up and running. I mean, I've got several now, right? But I got the first one up and running, established, I was making money. And then I've kind of got like a few other ways that I make money in my business. So now if I do have a new idea, I can pursue it and I can investigate it and I can research it. And that's a really privileged, awesome place to be in. And it's taken years of hard work, by the way. There's no overnight with this at all. And I can't, I just can't recommend enough to people to do one thing at a time first and not think that you have to pivot if you're already making money, right? Unless, yeah, as we're talking about, the joy is not there, or you're about to have the rug pulled out from underneath you by the platforms, the community, social pressures could change what you do, yeah, as a business overnight as well, you know.
Yeah, definitely. But I think you're right, like, you want to, as much as you can, you want to have like your stable bit in the middle and then gradually like test in and kind of pivot. That's the ideal scenario, isn't it? Because you're not exposing yourself to falling off a cliff, really, in terms of that income. So I would always recommend that approach, like, if you can. As you say, you don't always have those choices. But if you can run them in tandem, and then you might sort of run it as like 90% of my business is here, but I'm going to put 10% into my pivot. And then that like the ratio you might just eke out, now it's 20%, now it's 50. Now do you know what? I'm going all in.
Yeah. Okay. And so that's something I want to just discuss quickly as well, is going all in, right? So, you know, we've addressed what pivoting is, you know, when you might want to be thinking about pivoting within your business. Sometimes you haven't got a choice. Sometimes it's, you've just pushed it so far, you know, that, you know, the product or service is not going to make you money. You've asked your customers and they've told you direct as well, or you can feel it for sure. And if you are in a position where you can do that pivot, how quickly and how do you make that decision? Because we could spend years slowly pivoting, couldn't we? Which, you know, is definitely not in the spirit of, like, say, you know, Adeo and this sort of Twitter example that we were talking about before. They sort of had to do that quickly.
Yeah. And I, you know, I don't think there is a one size fits all. But I think this is where knowing your vision and where you want to get to really helps, because if you're just kind of playing with something, as you say, you could just be playing with it and pivoting slowly for 10 years. And like, you know, that might suit you really well. But I think you sort of know when, if your pivot is the real dream, then you've got to, I think you sort of, you need to try and make that change faster, because the longer you take, the harder it gets, really, in a way. Like, you need an overlapping period. And I don't think there's a finite, I'll give it a month, give it 6 months, give it 2 years. And because things change again so quickly, don't they? But I think from the joy perspective, from the tech world, everything changes so quickly. You know, I think you've got to try and follow that instinct and say, do you know what? I've got what I need. I know there's a demand here because I've had customers. I know I like it because I've done it. I know I prefer it to this because I was happier when I was running it. So therefore, what is stopping you from making that bigger change? And if it is more of a black and white income thing, then you say, right, okay, I need a plan. Like, by this month, you know, give yourself a deadline or say you're not going to do it. And I know that's quite hard, and I have to be really hard on myself, because, as you know, like, Vicky, we are brilliant friends because you are very to the point. I will fluff around the point for quite a long time.
I'm known for it, yes.
And we, you know, it was great. We've been accountability buddies before, and we work really, really well, because I will finesse something to within an inch of its life and make it look perfect. And then you have to sort of get out your own way. And you've actually said that to me before, Vicky. And, you know, and it's like a constant discipline. And I've developed over the years of working for myself a way of being quite strict with myself, saying, do you know what, am I in this or not? If I'm in it, by December, I'm going to have this, I'm going to be at this point, or I'm walking away. Because otherwise it just goes on and on. And, you know, if you are serious about having something you love and about getting the success, whatever success is for you, I think there is a point you've got to commit to it. You've just got to make that commitment.
Yeah. And I also think as well that taking into account the how that pivot's going to impact your business needs to be understood as well. Like, to be fair, like, when you pivoted before, you went from doing websites to brand. I would argue that's not a million miles away from each other, right? Because you're sat at a computer, you're already thinking creatively in one space. You could probably talk to the same clients, even, you know, about branding. You know, it's not like a million miles away from what you're doing. The Starbucks example I mentioned at the beginning as well, he's already like buying coffee machines and beans, yeah. Right? It's just like opening up some premises. And it's the same for the software examples as well. They were already making software. They had engineers, they were set of computers, you know, da, da, da. But if you're going from, you know, like being a greengrocer fully to, you know, like selling accountancy software or something like that, like that needs to be factored in. You need to understand the time, the kind of market entry needs, dealing with the whole new set of the customers and, you know, marketing needs that you need to address as well. Yeah. And, you know, the lead time to success possibly will be much longer, right?
Yeah. If you even close one venture, so you might say, do you know what, I've just got two businesses, like,
well, yeah, I mean, there's that
pivot, but you know, if one business, you know, could it run without you? You know, again, it depends.
That's a dream for me. That's a dream. I'd love to have businesses that I owned that I don't need me to run them.
Does you think it must exist? But like, even like, you can do like the one day a month, like you can just swan in, like be the CEO. You know,
I'd love that.
Team, you all okay? Yeah, great. I'm off.
Yeah, and you know, when we used to have that agency, like there'd be a guy who's like the chairman or CEO or whatever, and walk in the red carpet and the best coffee. The red carpet would be rolled out. The best coffee would be percolating. We'd have pastries that day, you know, just to make out this is what it's normally like in your office, boss. So what point do you just give up though, right? What point do you think? Because, you know, like the Twitter boys, right? You know, I'm really glad they didn't give up, because, you know, it's I think the world is a better place because we've got Twitter. Well, some people might argue with that, of course, right? depending on like where you're coming from, right? But you know, I'm glad they didn't give up. But you know, when we had the product I was talking about, the Facebook API product was pulled out under our feet, we gave that up. We didn't try and find another solution. You know, just because the cost of really pivoting and going to do something totally different, you're not pivoting then, you're just creating a brand new business, right?
Yeah.
And you know, we didn't have the team, and we would have had to have sourced in new people and stuff, and it wouldn't have been lean, right? It wouldn't have made us money. We would have had to have found investment and stuff like that. So you know, so at what point do you think it's worth just going throwing the towel, you're done?
Yeah, you know, that's a really good point, because I think sometimes we can feel a bit like, you know, we never give up, we always persevere. And you know, and I'm definitely of that line of thought in general, but sometimes it really isn't worth it. And you know, you can put your energy into one thing and something else is missing out, because there could be the next big idea is brilliant. And I'm kind of aware we're kind of contradicting ourselves in lots of ways, because I think it just depends.
I think you're right, to be fair, Kat. Like I think we talked a lot also as well about gut instinct and like a hyper awareness of where you're going. And I think if you pivot and you know, you can probably feel that there's a way forward with what you're doing, right? Because there's a bit of joy there, there's a bit of knowledge about the market, there's a bit of understanding about what the customers want. But if you're really like flogging a dead horse, as it were, you'd probably know that. Like, and if you were pivoting and your customers have said to you, we really don't want this product, like 100% we do not want chocolate teapots, please don't make us chocolate teapots, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And you're like, oh, I know better than them, I'll pivot anyway, then that's probably the point you should have given up, right?
Or I think it's like I had one of my clients, she was making like a children's product. And she'd had customers and it was going okay, bit of a slow burn. But, you know, when you sort of drill down into how much time is it taking and where, you know, what are you charging and what's the sort of ceiling do you think is possible? Actually, it just didn't stack up. It just didn't stack up. And it wasn't, I think if she truly, truly loved it, and was prepared to let other stuff go, you know, you might say, well, you can employ someone in, how can we look at processes, how can we streamline? So there probably was still you could have gone a bit further with it, but actually if it was just something you're kind of playing with, you're in that exploration phase where you've got the other stuff still going, I think you do get that instinct of, right, I've done it, I know there's a bit of demand, but it just isn't stacking up with my time and with money, and I don't love it enough to take the action I would need to take to make it stack up. Then you know, you call it a day, or you say, well, it's a bit of a hobby on the side, you know, like I can still do it because I enjoy it and I might earn a few quid, but it's not something that's ever going to like replace my main business. So I just don't think there's ever a one size fits all. I think it depends, as you say, on your audience, on what's happening around you, on the direction you're going in. Do you want to build that team? Do you want to build those processes out? Do you want to keep just yourself and running like a really lean business? Does it feel right? Does it bring you joy? You know, we could probably make like a model for this, Vicky, where like you answer yes or no and it would shoot out the answer for you.
Probably. I mean, like, it's just, we're sort of what, starting to wind up this chat now, like, and sort of summarizing is, I definitely feel like talking about this, that there is a massive element of like persevering unless you know deep down, right? Persevering with your business, unless you know deep down, right, that there isn't a joy there, right? Or if you can clearly see a gap in the market, like you'd be blind to kind of like miss it. Or if you've literally had the proverbial rug pulled out from underneath your business feet, right? And going with a pivot and testing it and trying it, and again putting effort into persevering with that. If you don't have any of those three things and you are persevering with your business, it could be just down the line, round the corner, things could take off. I've never seen an overnight success, like literally never. Like all the people who are overnight successes, I had, like, if you dig down, they were doing something along those lines for years before. like literally all the best YouTubers who've just all of a sudden become really popular overnight, like Casey Neistat. He was making videos for 10 years previous to that, you know, like, or like a lot of the business people we know, like you think about Amy Porterfield, she was doing it for 10 years.
Yeah.
Like, you know, making really bad low lit video, you know, video tutorials and stuff. So like there's an element of perseverance for sure. But if those three things come into play, pivot. And it sounds like you should probably, well, again, we need a scale for this, Kat, don't we? You could pivot quickly if your business depends on it, or if you've got the luxury of testing something, you could do a slow pivot essentially. Yeah. But at some point you need to again apply that kind of perseverance versus kind of pivot factor and see whether you either need to pivot again or just kind of turn the lights off and kind of chuck
it. Yeah, exactly. And you know, I think it's just asking the hard questions sometimes, and you know, just taking that moment to work on your, you know, on your business and asking those questions and looking at where you're going. And you know, as you say, you've got sort of those things to take into account, and just being kind of honest with yourself. I think that sounds really simple, but it can be quite tricky. But just have a reality check, you know, is this for me? Am I in?
Are you going to pivot in your business again anytime soon, do you think?
Well, it's funny you should ask that. Yes, of course. Yeah, I'll always be someone who pivots a bit. But I think probably for me now, it's less about pivoting. It's more about expanding into new products and services that all complement each other. So I don't think I'll pivot away from like coaching, essentially coaching people and training people to create their own course, membership, you know, whatever group program or digital product, because I love that. And it contains everything I've done. So it's like the 20 years of branding and marketing.
No overnight success.
No, believe me. That's it. And it might look like, oh, she's just like one day woken up and created this program. Like, no, it's like so much has gone into it. But the great thing about it, when you find a really great program like you've done with your membership, there's like all these other strands to it that you can pull in without really pivoting, because your brand values stay the same, your strengths stay the same, your brand personality stays the same. It's just you get complementary kind of add-ons. So I'm making up language as I go along here. I probably won't pivot. I will add some complementary add-ons to my main business, to my main thing, which, yes, I'm already working on, because I will never stop being an ideas person.
I love it. Where can everyone find you online, please, Kat?
So it's thebrandologist.co. That's the website and the Instagram handle. So just come and hit, give me a follow. Let me know if you've heard the podcast. I'll come and, you know, have a chat. So that's it. I am on Facebook, but I don't do much on Facebook. I'm sort of there, but not there. So Instagram or thebrandologist.co.
Brilliant. This has been such a great chat. And I've actually learned quite a lot, like just having this chat with you about how I feel about pivots as well. And look, if you've been listening to this, definitely reach out to us and let us know if you're pivoting as well, or whether you should persevere. I feel like that's the vibe: persevere or pivot. And let us know what you thought of the episode. Obviously, please subscribe if you're not a subscriber, and look up Kat online for sure. Thanks again, Kat. Love this.
Oh, it's been such a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Hi, it's Vicky. I'm back as promised to come and say hi to you and just check in. I hope you enjoyed that chat as much as we did. And I actually left the chat with a slightly different perspective on pivoting. I didn't realise as we were talking, until I had said it, that I do have this propensity to look around when things are going really well in my business and think, do I need to start again for any reason? I think it's in my nature, but it was really good talking about it with Kat and kind of reflecting on it. I mean, just to be clear, I'm not going to start again in my current business, running my website membership, at all. I absolutely love that. But it's really good to reflect on that and think, you know, can I keep going with this? And I think that's, you know, a takeaway for everyone who's listened to this episode, to think, you know, where are you going? You know, zoom out 20,000 feet and have a look at where you're at, and kind of, you know, reflect and understand if you are still going on the right path, because we don't do that enough as small business owners. We don't take that time, because we're doing all the things right, we don't take that time out enough. So as usual, please subscribe to this podcast if you aren't a subscriber, and we'd love it if you went and left a review over on iTunes. It helps more people see the podcast around the world, where we have listeners from all four flung corners of the world. A little bit of news is that the podcast is going on an official break, right? I've sometimes just done unofficial breaks, but it's going to go on an official break for a few weeks in September, because we're going to be coming back with a new series of episodes where we actually focus on you guys, right? Business owners who are actually doing the do at the moment. And I'm really excited. I'm doing the interviews at the moment. I'm really excited to bring you some Where Are They Now stories, some reflections on people who've just started businesses, some stories of people who are doing quite well. And it's going to be a really great series. but I need to go and finish it, so that's why we're going to have a little hiatus of this, the Online Marketing Basics for Busy Website Owners, and I hope that you will join me late September when we'll be back again. If you're going to miss me, then you can come and join my next 5-day challenge. It starts on the 13th of September, and if you just head to heyvickyjakes.com, the sign up button is on there. Smash that, go through and sign up and come and join us and get your website reviewed and have some fun with hundreds of people in a very awesome little community for 5 days. So until then, thank you so much as per usual for listening, and I can't wait to see you guys again later on in the autumn.